Well, CIA Deputy Director Steve Kappas is leaving, and that throws a wrench into the works for the rumor mill about who's really running the CIA. National Security correspondent J.J. Green writes about that in this week's Intel Briefing blog. But before we get to that, let's talk about some of the headlines. Scuds from Syria for Hezbollah and Hamas. Iran with a nuke in the next year. All options are on the table to stop them. And these are some of the alarming headlines we've been hearing this week as the nuclear summit unfolded here in Washington. But it appears the situation is even more urgent. J.J. Green joins us now and to tell us why, in fact, is it so much more urgent?
It's more urgent, Tom, because there's some significant intelligence that comes out of Israel that I've been talking to some sources there and here, military and private sector analytical, that there's a concern that Iran is not going to wait for the United States or Israel or anybody else to attack them to preempt their nuclear program, that they are arming up Hezbollah and Hamas to get them basically to launch an attack against Israel. And the simple fact of the matter is they feel as though a distraction, something on the order of what happened in 2006 during the war between Israel and Hezbollah, is what most likely will happen. We've been hearing about Syria sending these Scuds over to Hezbollah and Hamas, which most folks who know anything about these things know that they're nothing more than big cauldrons filled up with some kind of fuel and lit, and you can't really control these things. They understand as well that that is pretty much a diversion designed to scare people, but it can also kill people too. So they're worried that that's what's going to happen, that in order to buy more time, Iran's going to arm up its proxies and set them off to do something like this.
Well, if that were to occur, or even the threat of that occurring, what would the U.S. posture be at that point? What would have to occur behind the scenes?
Well, the U.S. is going to, behind the scenes, watch this. They're not going to get involved in this unless they absolutely have to. Some seem to think that if Iran and Israel were to go head-to-head, then it would not only draw other parties from the Middle East in, but would draw the United States in. But the U.S. doesn't want that. Israel doesn't want it. Iran certainly doesn't want it. So they're going to go, if they do anything according to these military sources that I've been talking to, through the back door and do these ticky-tack type of hit-and-run attacks against Israel. And this is a part of the reason why we heard earlier in the week about this urgent message the Israeli government sent out to its citizens about vacating the Sinai Peninsula. This is a part of it. Threats that may come from different places. And this is, according to what I've understood, hot intelligence, which means that it's something could be imminent. So it probably is a part of a mounting strategy on the part of Iran's proxies.
So it sounds like this latest news that now a year away, perhaps, from a nuclear weapon, I think Michel Flournoy was saying that in front of Congress, from the Defense Department, is not just a coincidence.
No, and the interesting part about Iran being a year away from possibly developing some type of weapon is a conversation that I had with the ambassador from Israel, Alon Pincus, who was here not that long ago. He said it could be before that. But no one thinks that Israel is going to wait up until the year to do anything. They're going to do something before that. And the critical part of that is the U.S. strategy in Iraq. Iraq is the U.S. is going to leave Iraq at the end of next year. Israel doesn't have a relationship with Iran, or rather Iraq. In order to launch any kind of attack in Iraq, or rather Iran, using what would amount to Iraqi airspace, they would need the U.S. to get permission to use the airspace because they don't have that relationship with the Iraqis, the Israelis. So this is a situation where it's very complex, it's very complicated, but the bottom line, if they were to do that and use that route, Israel would need the U.S.'s influence in Iraq to help them do whatever it is they want to do with an attack in Iran.
We're speaking with J.J. Green, our national security correspondent, and let's move on now to the CIA. And you're saying in your blog today that the departure of Mr. Kappas makes kind of a leadership vacuum in terms of operation.
Well,
What's going on?
I don't want to say that. I didn't really indicate that. What I'm saying is there are those who thought that Steve Kappas was the guy behind the scenes pulling the strings. But if you, I mean, and those, that's a rumor mill, but those who've watched this agency closely knows that that's not the case. It's a place where there's some very talented people. But a lot of people expected Mr. Panetta to just stick around for a while. A lot of people were even so bold as to say he was a placeholder. But as I understand it, you know, he got into it, a little slow at the beginning because those hours are pretty rigorous. But he likes it. He enjoys it. And, some say he's doing a really good job over there. Long hours. Yes. I saw him not too long ago at a diplomatic function after hours. And believe it, the CIA director's day starts early and this was an evening function. So, this may be a part of the reason why it's become more palatable to him, because he's in an element that he's been in for many years, and that is working the crowds and the diplomacy,
the political
circle.
Part yeah. of the job. But you know, Mr. Kappas was talked out of leaving twice by the president, so yeah. he's got to be playing a key role at that agency.
Well, no question about it. Steve Kappas, when you look at his history, station chief in Moscow, New Delhi, and just a critical player when it comes down to people in the intelligence community, he's a legend to many people. So he knows a lot of things and very clearly has given a lot in service to the country. Seems as though if Mr. Panetta is going to be around, and he certainly seems to be enjoying the job, Kappas has gotten to the point, he said he wanted to leave before now, but it seems as though he's gotten to the point where this is definitely the time for him to make an exit and perhaps do something else.
Well, he did leave briefly during the star-crossed Porter-Goss
yeah.
era and then was recruited back. So he's good. Definitely a company man, but maybe this really is time to retire.
Good point, Tom. Yeah, I mean, very clearly, this is just me thinking, just knowing Kappas, you know, I've been on him since 06 for an opportunity to interview him, to talk to him, and he always looks at me and winks and he nods and he says,
I know you want to talk to me, says, but you're not going to get a chance.
You know, he says, we'll see, you know, and so.
Or run it by the PAO.
Yeah, you know, we'll see, you know, but, you know, the guy just knows so much. Anybody would jump at the opportunity to talk to him, but that may come down the road, but I don't know that his career is over, you know, in the intelligence community. This just may be a different detour.